The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Welcome to another 88.5 SoCal Sound session. We are here with Christian Lee Hudson. Welcome back. You've been here before.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It must not have been so bad that you came back.
It wasn't that bad. I mean, I've forgiven a lot and really moved on after what happened last time.
But Thank you. So. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Everyone deserves it.
You've got a brand new record, Paradise Pop 10. I love that we just, when artists come in and they haven't seen their beautiful vinyl in person yet, it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
I love it. I love the colors.
I know. I think we did all right.
Yeah. So we were talking about you've lived most of your life in L.A., but you recently deserted us.
I did.
For New York.
I'm a deserter.
Was it, did you move, you said 2 years ago?
Yeah, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, yeah.
What made you abandon us? Did it have anything to do with us here at the station?
No, nothing. As I said, I'm very forgiving. No. I'd wanted to move to New York for a while and just like live in like a quieter, place.
Is New York quieter?
Well, upstate. I'd made a plan to move upstate and, honestly tired of driving.
Yeah.
Tired of driving and I feel like there's this thing that happens in LA where like, you don't see a lot of your friends because you're in this constant negotiation about whether or not it's worth it to like, well, 20 minutes there, 30 minutes maybe, I don't know, and then park and then leave, and I'm gonna wanna get back by this time, so maybe leave this, so that's 4 hours. You're doing like all this math all the time, and I don't know, I spent a lot of my life here also feeling like I was kind of just stuck in the past or something like that, or like reliving different chapters of my life instead of feeling like I was presently locked in it, you know?
One of the lines in one of your songs was that I think that I'm leaving and this never really felt like home, and I wondered if that was about L.A. Like, has L.A. never felt like home, or has it?
I mean, at times it has. It's funny coming back here, it really doesn't. But a lot of my, the closest people to me have kind of left L.A.
There was a big exit during COVID. There was a lot of close friends split.
Yes. I was here for all of COVID, and there was definitely a lot of people leaving. I don't know. Most of my adult life I've been on tour, so it's been kind of hard, and no place has felt really like home. But I think also that you need to be kind of deliberate in order to make something feel like home, and a touring musician doesn't really deliberately usually put a lot of effort into making the home life feel stable.
So you feel like you're doing that now? I know you're about to get a home in upstate New York.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I really that's really important to me at this time in my life. I feel like I want to feel sort of grounded somewhere and not like with a suitcase that I'm like, okay, these are my things. And
Yeah. Do you feel like this record, I always like to know where songs were written, like most of the songs on this album, are they written in all different places or in one spot?
They were mostly written in New York, in my apartment in New York. We wrote quite a bit of it just in there. I think a few things maybe in the studio a little bit, but it was the first time I ever booked studio time before I had songs really written, so.
Did that work in your favor? Did that put a lot of pressure?
It didn't put as much pressure as I would have expected it to in the past. It actually was kind of fun doing it that way. I don't know. Not really.
And what about, you recorded most of it in Brooklyn. I read something like you recorded it in the depths of winter. Do you feel like I feel like all that stuff makes a difference for a record. So do you feel like recording it in Brooklyn in winter affects the mood of the album?
Totally. I mean, I think I love the winter, maybe just because I spent so much of my life living in LA, where it's just years can disappear, where it feels like the day doesn't ever change. It's like this relatively the same weather all the time. So yeah, getting to record something where I'm like, I also get to walk to this studio every day instead of in the past, you know, I'd spend like an hour and a half in the car to get to the studio. So all of those things definitely affected it. You know, it's fun to wake up in the morning and have everyone kind of walk to the studio together and be talking about the songs as you're going into the studio. Here, oftentimes I would just get out of my car, be like so stressed out already and have to psych myself into like, okay, like, we're gonna make music now, I guess. So yeah, I think that affected it. Waking up and already being in the mindset.
That's nice. What about, let's get into some of the songs you're going to perform today. Carousel Horses, which we've been playing. And the record, every record you've worked with Phoebe Bridgers as well, co-producing with you.
Yeah.
Big fan. We love playing her music here as well.
Me too.
You guys have similar songwriting styles. Where do you think, listening to your music, it really feels like you're listening to a diary entry or it's like a stream of consciousness. Do you have to work hard? Is it a stream of consciousness for you? Or do you have to work hard to like rewrite any of it? Because it feels so natural and simple, but sometimes that's not easy.
I mean, yeah, I would say that the ones that I end up liking a lot kind of come out fairly easily, but I both of us, I feel like, do a lot of editing of things and trying to make sure that it all makes sense. It's kind of like trying to like rewrite a dream you had or something like that, where it's like, okay, it was my childhood home, but it wasn't my childhood home. Like I had never been there before, but I knew where certain stuff was, and there was this trapdoor. It was like, there's a lot of, I think, like kind of, it comes out sort of stream of consciousness often, and then reorganizing it to make it narratively make sense, maybe.
And how about Carousel Horses when you put that song together? So that has Phoebe and also your fiance Maya Hawke on it. How did that song come together? And you recorded that here in LA, right?
Yeah, we did. That was part of like the second session that we did for this record. Because we did the first chunk and then we wrote two more songs. And I was like, oh, maybe we should try and throw those on there. That one came together the night before our last day in the studio. I had worked on this record for this Australian artist called Phoebe Go, and there was one song that I really liked that we had started together that...
Did you steal it back?
I asked Phoebe, Phoebe Go, if we could take it back, and Maya and I just sat in the house and wrote it in like an hour and recorded it the next day. And that was, I mean, really fun and very quick. Turn around on a song quicker than usual.
And what about, you've also produced Maya's record, right?
Yeah.
How is it, I guess, for one, to be a couple and work on music, but how different is it for you to produce someone else's and then your own?
It's much more relaxing to produce someone else's. Because you know how, or I not to make a generalization, not everyone, but like I find it much easier to believe in and root someone else on than myself. So working with people like Maya or, you know, anyone else, it's usually like, well, yeah, you're amazing. So let's just figure out how to do what you want to do. And it's always going to be good. Let's just keep the focus on, you know, the making it fun and feel natural and like an amplification of your self. And it's harder to do. I feel like it's harder to do with your own music sometimes, because you're like, ah, I don't, it's, you know, harder to be your own cheerleader.
And your own critic.
Yeah.
Critical on yourself.
Is often a lot louder.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into another song, really pretty, Flamingos, which you're performing. I love the line, losers remember the people who won, winners are never afraid to lose. Do you think you're a winner or a loser?
I don't know.
You're like, sometimes both.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't typically think about things like that. I'm most of my songs are kind of like little sort of character songs. This one in particular came from like a, there's a quote of this basketball coach, and now I can't remember his name, but he said something to the effect of like, losers only think about the winners, and winners only think about the game. And I thought it would be a funny thing to, or not funny, but like an interesting thing to give a character in the, when they're talking about their love life, like to think about it as a game. I thought it was really sad, and gave the person kind of a cool flavor that made it kind of obvious why they were not winning.
Yeah.
How
about another song you're going to perform, After Hours? Can you tell me a little bit about the writing that went into that?
Yeah, that's actually the only one that wasn't written in our apartment. It was written in on a plane. I was flying back from Europe, and I had read this story. There's a short story by this young fiction writer called Sam Berman that he wrote this story called Dogs of a Lesser Breed that's essentially, it's like kind of like a story about a person living in kind of this corporatized heaven who was about to meet up with someone who he knew in real life that finally got there or something. And I loved his version of heaven and also wanted to do like, there's this like trope, I feel like, in songwriting of like doing the writing to like someone who has died, you know, the letter that, you know, that could never reach them. And I thought it would be fun to try and do the reverse of that, where the person who's passed on can't reach the person who's still living, that kind of thing.
Do you do any kind of like take, you know, there's always kind of songwriting boot camps. Do you take a lot of that stuff and?
I don't, but I'm interested in it. I know a lot of people that have, I know a lot of people that do like the, we're gonna write a song every day for 2 weeks. And I would love to be that disciplined, but I'm not, I'm like, oh, but what if I'm in a bad mood this second day? Or, you know. But no, I think about it a lot and I talk with all my other friends who are songwriters a lot. Which might have the same effect, though I don't know.
Who were, when you were growing up, who were your big idols for songwriters?
I loved Elliott Smith a lot. I loved Hank Williams. I loved Joni Mitchell, Amy Mann. Like, really?
Till Tuesday, reuniting.
Oh. I didn't know that.
For this special
concert
here.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a massive Amy Mann fan.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Those were like the big ones. And like a host of other like, the really notable ones were like, you know, when you're in high school or something and you see someone who is around your age, like playing in a church or something like that. And you're like, wow, I didn't know. I thought that was for like famous people. Like, that's just a guy that I see at school.
That's cool. All right, tell me three albums that you couldn't live without.
Suicane Gratification by Paul Westerberg. Let's see, what else?
Not to put you on the spot.
No,
please.
I'm Suicane Gratification. That was a first, my immediate gut reaction. I mean, like cheese, ones that make me sound like a dope or whatever, like Blue, Joni Mitchell, couldn't live without that. And maybe I'm going to say this just because I've been listening to a lot recently, but Mental Illness by Amy Mann, who we just talked about. Those are like two that I listen to often and one that I return to often.
That's great. How about, since you left LA, two places that you, when you get here, you have to go to, whether it's like food or...
I love going to... what do I do when I get here? I'm such a weird... I love going to see... going to the movies, kind of. Oh, see what's playing. Like, I used to love the Vista Theater, though I haven't been there in years. Every time I come back now, I'm like, I never have time to actually do anything.
Yeah.
But if I had a moment, I would go to the Vista and see a movie in Silver Lake. And just because it's convenient geographically, I might go to have dinner at All Time down the street.
That's cool. All right, what about one song that one song you go to when you need a lift, like you're feeling down and you're like, oh, this song's gonna make it?
I really love this song called Losing You by Randy Newman. I go to that one, I think, a lot.
That's cool. I noticed you had a lot of tattoos. I was going to ask, what's your first tattoo and what's the last one?
I have my first tattoo. I went with my dad on my 18th birthday and got a Hank Williams tattoo.
Was it a picture of Hank Williams?
No, it just says Hank on my arm, which people are often like, what's the list of names on your arm? Or I'm like, oh, it's just country stars that I liked when I was... my whole life, but...
I was hoping it was like a big portrait.
Yes, big back piece, yeah. With angel wings, it has like 1932 to 1952 or whatever. that was my first tattoo. My dad just like played me Hank Williams tapes a lot when I was growing up, and that is how I kind of learned about songwriting. And my last tattoo, I think, is an Elliott Smith tattoo. Phoebe and I got matching Elliott Smith little blue heart tattoos. So two music tattoos. And now I've sworn I'm not ever getting a tattoo again. And might even get new skin, you know, just to cover over some of the regretful ones.
I see. All right. Well, thank you so much, Christian Lee Hudson, for coming by the new record Paradise Pop 10. It's been great chatting with you. Thanks for being here.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Your room was covered in day glow, smoke rings hanging like halos. How could you know how I feel? You can identify trees just by looking at the leaves. How could you know how I feel? I'm no shrinking violet, I just like being quiet. How could you know how I feel? And like carousel horses, we're set on our courses. You're always right on my heels. How could I know how that feels? You say you tried everything. High school for you was college for me. Don't flatter yourself, you're not my first, is your go-to line, and it always works. I grew up in a fog. I always knew how to withdraw. How could you know how I feel? Half your life ago, I was living alone. How could you know how I feel? You broke the news in our favorite corner booth. How could you know how I feel? You said you shouldn't feel stupid. I just knew before you did. I'm sitting here spinning my wheels. I bet you know how that feels. You say you tried everything, holding back, leaning in, and all of it hurts. Nothing changes, nothing works. Talking me
It's Matt Blake here, Director of Digital Broadcast. Just jumping in. If you're enjoying the SoCal Sound Sessions, it means that you already love what the SoCal Sound does. So there's no better way to stay informed than signing up for the SoCal Sound email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. And it's so easy. You just go to the SoCalSound.org, go to the top, and sign up for the email newsletter. Again, go to the SoCalSound.org and sign up for the email newsletter. It's so easy. And while you're there, maybe consider becoming a subscribing member. The SoCalSound.org.
Taking the red eye over the dateline, a sea of slow walkers are all taking their sweet time. You're on the phone with your brother, sitting in the bay window. Taxis idling outside like pink lawn flamingos. You're planning a party to bring in the new year, to clean out the cobwebs and convince me to move here. Losers remember the people who won. Winners are never afraid to lose. You only think about falling in love. You live for a summer in the Sylvia Hotel, chasing paper airplanes down the stairwell. Your world was collapsing, you couldn't have stopped it. Your jokes became armor, your pain became gossip. You were like a coyote stuck in a diorama, born with a silver spoon and golden handcuffs. Losers remember the people who won. Winners are never afraid to lose. You only think about falling in love. I only think about you. I can be irritating, quiet and moody. I feel like an orphan, that's all there is to me. I watch you cradle a watermelon under your sweatshirt. You had a bad mom, I bet you'll be better. Losers remember the people who won. Winners are never afraid to lose. You only think about falling in love. I only think about you. I only think about you. In heaven and 7-Elevens and 24-hour arcade bars, a lazy river that runs between the suburbs and slums, the speed limits enforced by radar. I live by myself in a duplex for now, with a pretty good view of the pyramids. At night I take the train home, sinking to new lows, and picture you practicing pirouettes. I miss our adventures, East Village winters, acting out True West by lamplight. You look like After Hours era Catherine O'Hara. You were really on one that night. St. Simon's Island, your eyes cut in diamonds. The water was clear, almost too clear. And embarrassed in Paris to kiss on the terrace. Who cares? You said they do have rules here. Ooh. Thank you. a Diet Coke fountain. There's no good Italian. There's free shuffleboard in the main hall. Big budget productions of the lives of your loved ones. The good stuff is behind a paywall. I don't know where you've been lately, 'cause I don't watch the dailies, but I imagine you back up in Lake Hill, taking down wind chimes and running through stop signs to pick up Clementine's pain pills. The last talk we had, I know you weren't really mad, but it sticks in my head for some reason. And it's crazy, I know I've got nowhere to go, but up here I wear my seatbelt.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.